Came in and I think there was two or three men dead there where the shooting took place, but they didn't get anybody because he was just one man.
Was this Shorty who was who was in there?
Yeah. Yeah, this is old Shorty himself. He was a young man then.
Did he ever talk about Felix Warren, what Felix Warren was like?
Oh, yeah, he told lots of stories about Felix. Yes, old Felix was quite a, if I saw old Felix and Jonathan there, 50 years ago or so, he was getting pretty old then, and but some way they had, making a race from Spokane to Walla Walla and changed horses every so often. He changed in Genesee, I remember. I just happened to be in town where I wasn't giving a damn about Felix. He was a kind of heavy set fella and lawyer, a beard cut down to chin whiskers. But a great old driver yet. And there was a fellow there that put on a team, I guess it was this side, that he drove up to the head of the grade. I guess it must have been about 19. Sometimes after the turn of the century, because I know it was he wasn't doing any driving or anything, but he came with somebody and he was doing the driving and so on. But I saw him there and he was a great old man for his whip. Yes, he would. I know this fellow that had his horses on. He's dead now, but he said that he see a whip, and so he handed him his whip, and so he cracked it. He's a great old man to crack a whip. This fellow that was there named Kern. He was a man of 35 or 40, I guess then, but he's dead now. But anyway, he made a few cracks with it, and the goddamn, he said, give me back that whip. He said, I want some whip when I get to Lewiston. And he would crack me into the whip house, you know. But I happened in town, and I'd seen old Felix too. But I wasn't much interested in him. He was just a, but he had run a stagecoach and drove himself lots of times and so on. I don't remember any of the junk.
Was Shorty ever get tangled up in a bank holdup?
He could have been. I could have told it anyway.
I can't remember. I thought I ran across something about that.
I don't remember it either. He never was kind of a man to get the guilty man. I forgot. Oh, he told a thousand stories, and I wasn't much interested in them. Oh, but this Bob here, Lilith's son, he probably remembers.
He learned him from you.
Bob had.
He learned him from you. Well, you were telling me about that before, about this, he was breaking a horse and he picked up a $20 bill in a hat band.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He was down at the feed yard there, down with, right straight down the cross street from Maine. You know, that Fifth Street where the Raymond Hotel used to be. And Fifth Street, and the right street to the, there was an old depot there and so on. And he had been breaking horses all winter in there. I think that's about the, think of the time of Spanish American War, and he was breaking horses out of winter for government or wild horses, and he'd break them, and there was him and another couple or two breaking horses there. And he had run out of money and stuck around about another day, and he had a mooch his drink and so on, his courage before he could, because he always paid it, and that was true. But he was an honest little fellow. He would owe everybody in town, but he'd go out and he'd get a steak and send it in and to the fellows he owed, and then he would make another steak and come in and get drunk and so on. But anyway, this time he was, he was in there, and they got after him to ride another horse for us, a couple more horses. Anyway, he didn't want to, he wanted to go on out to his job up in the Quaid Mountain or somewhere up Snake River. But anyway, he said, I gotta get to work, everybody. Anyway, they said, I'll break one for you for nothing. He jumped on and he stitched him up and jumped on and rolled the spurs to him, and he whipped a bucket because his hat flew off, and it was a windy day, and hat rolled up the street a ways. Anyway, he kind of circled around, somebody passed it up to him, he picked and hit up that bike up. There was a $20 bill under the hat band, and it rolled up, and the hat band shook up to his eyes, so he just grabbed his hat and put it on. He said, "Boys, I'll ride this horse about the day after tomorrow." And he went down to get drunk.
So did he break the horse then? Was he he broke the horse first?
I think so. He broke it before he failed.
So somebody gave him $20. Was it the guy who he was breaking the horse for gave him the 20?
I think I was right. Yeah, I think that was it.
Oh, thank you, Lola. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you'll have to tell this boy some of the Shorty Hill stories.
Lola, he says you know him better than he does. Isn't that funny?
Oh, she knows 1,000 of them.
Oh, I know. But these are stories you know pretty good.
Oh, no. And anything in time, you know, a man couldn't, I can't remember any of it at all. And,
well, listen, I want to ask you about Shorty, Shorty's brother there. You told me that his brother got lynched over in Colfax. Now, now, is it true that they let the bodies hang there overnight and during the day into the next day? You know what happened?
Yes, it's supposed to, although I'm not sure about that. But yes, they came in. They had they had this brother Shorty, he was a big man and kind of quarrelsome when he was drinking. They lived out here, up somewhere beyond Palouse ways, and I don't think there was any railroad or nothing there that I don't believe. And but anyway, he they got into a fight, this brother and two or three more fellows who were friends, but they would give them a scrap when they'd get to drinking. And this day they were, this night they went out, went to fighting, and by gosh, the cop came out to separate them. The cop didn't like him, and he wanted, he tried to arrest him, and they found his knife there by the by where they were fighting, and somebody had knifed the old cop. So some way or other, they all scattered, and when they got sober enough, and by the company, so he decided he better not be around there, because they were laying for him. So, by God, they all scattered before daylight, and somebody said the cop had been killed, and didn't know, so they found this knife, and by God, somebody said that's Ed Hill's knife. So by God, they thought he was the man that had knifed the cop, but they didn't. I guess it might have been the one, but they had no proof, and they just put him in for. Then he rode out. Before daylight came, he took off and rode clear over to the Columbia River, where the trail went, and mm-hmm. He followed the trail. He'd been over lots of times, and he got to the crossing and swam the north. Yes, he stopped on this side. They were hunting around for him, thought he was around down there someplace. But somebody else found another knife there. There's two, three knives kind of had opened, and by God, them. So anyhow, that next night, yes, the next night he stopped on the side of the Columbia. So I didn't think he was gone, and by God, so he went. And the next night, the woman there, he told them that he was afraid they were after. He didn't know they'd found more than one knife.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, when it came to a showdown, it was about three knives there. So, but nobody was knifed except the cop. And, he was afraid he was the only man, because he didn't wait for any reports. And he just got out of there. And the next night he swam across the river.
Mm-hmm.
It was early spring, and they had. Is deep and swift, but he has, they beat him up with a pack mule and some up and some pack saddle and so on. They were old friends, old chums of each other. So the next night, it was dark, he took across the river and on the he'd ride a big buckskin horse, and he was a powerful horse, and swam with his head high. And he knew he could cross the little horse, but he didn't know if the mule would. But he did. He said he pulled his head over and snubbed him around the saddle horn, and held his head up high. Hmm. And by God, he got across. And then when he got across, he was all right. And he went on back in some more country, and they were watching for him, and lots of them had heard talking about Montana. So they notified all through Montana, but nobody heard anything of it. But by God, this man had written back to his mother in the meantime, about 6 or 8 months after he'd been gone. He wrote back to his brother, and he said, whatever happened, that old cop died. what happened? And so his mother wrote right away to him, and he said, don't have a way to write to him. It was some way, quite a ways from the border here. And he said, just stay away, they're looking for you, they think you're the one that killed him. It was very dear, so later.
So he died, the cop died.
Yes, the cop died. So they didn't, they said, stay out. Now let's see, this man. Yes, so by God, the cop had a certain name, I forget the name, but anyway, by God, there was a fella in the country where the brother of Hills was watching them. He didn't know he was dead, but he was dead and buried. But the mother answered. They wrote he sent his name, and his name, and by God, the name of a cop. This was the sheriff there in hell and half of Montana. And he got the letter because this man never went to town for mail. And somebody got it. And
was he in Montana at this time?
Yes, he was in Montana. Uh-huh. Yes, he eventually.
So the cop got the letter instead of him?
Yeah, instead of him, the cop got the letter. So the man said, some sheriff or some fella, it was, they sent him after to bring him back, and they brought somebody else too, some other fella, and then this fella, and it was just pretty new yet. Down and they had to bring him quite a ways horseback, and then they strapped his hands behind his back, and the other fellow too. And when they got him, when they got to about the border somewhere, and they got on the train, and so they strapped him. The other fellow was a nigger. And they strapped his him to the nigger. And so Hill said, don't strap me to that nigger. Oh, the fellow just laughed. And when the fellow, the cop, quick as... Yes, the old cop was pretty damn sleepy, and he went to sleep. And by God, he'll just work the handcuffs off him, and took the Mr. Carter's gun. And then by God, he was all right. So he rang the bell. By God, going up a grade, and rang the bell, and they stopped. He jumped off in the night. They saw he just disappeared in the darkness. So a fella, the engineer, waited a little while, nothing happened, so he went on, and next morning when he came to his station, why he was, why didn't you wait? Some bitch got away from us, and then they were too late. And so anyway, after about a year was up or something, and he came back. He told me, said, my God, he hadn't killed the man. Nothing to do with it. And...
You mean he came back to clear himself?
Yeah, he came back to clear himself. That was it. So they couldn't... In those days, they didn't do much anyway. And so, by God, that they gave him a trial and for beating this... getting away from this fella, they gave him 6 months in jail for it.
That was for breaking away from the officer.
For breaking away.
But he didn't get nailed for killing the cop.
Like, no, it seemed like they had no proof of it, and so he. They tried him in Colfax, because that was they were in Washington anyway, and so they had all the proof they had was just this man. He said he hadn't done it, and there's nobody seen to know anything about this, so he. I believe 6 months in jail. So another fellow wasn't the neighbor, he was taken someplace else, but there was a fellow been harvesting or something, and by God he had killed a man and took his team and outfit and by God they got him. And, so came in and asked him, I think they left him, they go to, and by God, some of the farmers got along, and they were pretty mad about it. So they were checking on him, and by God, in the summertime, and he only had a couple of months left or so, and by God, they came out of the farmers around here, just around Pullman and there, and three or four times they went there, and Hill was a brother, this Hill, that thereafter, by God, he had a brother who was supposed to be an awful good man, and didn't believe that his brother had anything to do with it, and somehow they'd already get the wind of it, and by God, he would be there for the 30-30, and by God, they'd see him and so on, and they wouldn't even, and then sometimes they'd have 40 or 50 men there.
Well, now, who were they after? Were they after the Negro, or were they after the Shorty Hill's brother?
They were after Shorty. They really were after another fella that took a man's team.
Oh, did he just take the man's team, or did he kill the man, too?
Yeah, he killed the man.
Uh-huh.
Here someplace, and took his team. And
was this guy a Negro, the guy that did that?
No, this is a different bird.
Oh, wasn't a Negro?
Yeah, no, he wasn't a Negro. The Negro, they took him someplace else. He had committed a crime in Montana.
Uh-huh.
But these boys, those fellows, I knew quite a lot of the fellows. It was about 19. One or something like that, and it's about 70 years
mm-hmm.
old now. They came in after this other fella, and he had a great big thick cup. It was you used to see him around restaurants. He used to go a big thick heavy cup, and so he put that into a sack and had it in his bed. And so by God, they came in after him. After that, this other fellow that had killed him and the lady he admitted himself. Anyway, he was going to be hanged. And, I guess they knew he hadn't had his trial. But anyway, they got tired of it, and they said, we were going to lynch him.
So they went in after the guy to lynch him?
Yeah, they went after him, about a dozen or so of them, and the rest was outside. And Hill was a good scrapper and a husky man, not afraid of anything. But there was a dozen or 20 or so came in, and he had no gun or nothing, but he started swinging with this. Somebody grabbed the his big cup in the flour sack. And somebody grabbed that. And then half a dozen or so grabbed by God, he says, we'll just lynch him too. So they lynched him too. Hung them both out of the north end of
courthouse.
Yeah, courthouse. That's the end of the courthouse on the second floor. And they left to hang on. I guess they didn't take it down the next day sometime in the afternoon or something. They just let it hang there. They wanted to be a
lesson?
A lesson, that day. It wanted to be a lesson. So, and right in the summertime, it was hot, swollen, and these men hanging there. But these men took off right away, and there was kind of some hunting around. They were going to have these men because they had. I guess this fellow that had been harvesting there, and they threw harvesting, he hadn't had his trial, I believe, as it was. If it was, it Hill had been exonerated. He had a good reputation, it seems like. He was never known to get in any trouble, and but when he would get drunk, he would get the trouble. My God, they came in, and he was swinging to beat hell with this
flour sack.
Flour sack, and my God, somebody grabbed it, and they grabbed Hill, and they just put a rope on him and hanged him through one out each window. Yeah, I had seen the house for 20 years, and the windows, like those two windows, just pretty wide, and I thought it was wonderful, this wonderful, this, and you could see the the window sills were just tin, and there was a dent down in each tin of the rope that threw the man out. And
there was a dent in the rope, in the tin?
In the tin.
Where the rope had hung?
Yeah. Yes, and it did the job, I guess, and I guess the hills came and got the body in. I don't even know what they ever did, but they didn't do anything. But I think they just buried him, and that was that.
So Shorty and the hills never tried to take revenge.
No, they never. They just didn't know, and the man was running away from getting away from the law, so they thought he must have been dishonest, and so they.
So the other man that was hung was not. He wasn't a Negro. He was not a Negro.
No, he wasn't. No, they picked him a Negro with Hill. I don't know if it was with Hill or, but he was somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
And he was after that man anyway.
Well, listen. Would you tell me that story again? I didn't. The machine wasn't working when you told the story about him putting on the hooves backwards on the horse, putting his shoes on backwards.
Oh yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, he had gone to came out of the Salmon River country, and he'd been making moonshine up in there years ago. He was a young fella then. And probably no roads there or anything, and he had this trails and so on, and Shorty had him down and was squandering his money, and but he had to hear these fellows, they didn't know that Shorty was in on this moonshining and so on, and I got told they were talking, and they said, by gosh, I guess they didn't exactly know Shorty Hill, but they said there's a fellow named Hill in there. We were going to get, he's a head one of the bunch, that one. And so he happened to hear it, stayed out of sight and heard them saying that they will go up and raid them tonight and be sure we get him. So, Shorty, one of these fellas disappeared. Well, he just jumped on his horse and took up. Oh, I don't know the highway. He went out hit by a wall. Wall. Lake.
Wall Lake,
yeah. But he got out and the one old fella, can't think of his name now, but a little one. But then he went out to give you a cash away. That's some kind of a pit or something, someplace that they could cash their stuff and they wouldn't find it. So they came out and hell, there was nobody there. Where they were supposed to be, and they had no one. Oh, yeah.
That's what it takes, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Little cough syrup.
There.
That's very. So, anyway, this. When was your. early in the morning, so they was in the little surf up this evening. They a team of buggy, I think. Maybe they went down. I think there was a road yet out by the north, and maybe up to the soldier medical zone back up here on the mountain. But anyway, they went up, and I think they could get as far as forest, maybe. So they decided they would they go out and ransack a place that night, and they'd all be making whiskey, and they'd nab a bunch of them, the four or five of them there. So went as far as they could, and just the trail from there down. And I believe they walked in, it seemed. They were pretty rugged men. And in the meantime, the short was coming up the hill. He heard these fellows talking, and so God, nobody ever talking to some of the Ely moonshiners or fellows after them. So he stopped, and he turned his shoes backwards. That was it. Before he left, so he was done the daytime, he turned his shoes backwards. So the men sit down, and they've been talking amongst the person who said, "Whoop, hey, they called here is, yes, remember me telling them about that horse?" I said, he's newly shod, by God. He must have ridden down the back because he had a newly shod horse, you see, a newly shod horse. So we'll get him. And they seem to know the place where the men were supposed to be, all right. So, after as quick as Shorty got away, he just rolled the steel to his horse and rolled into
the camp?
No, he rolled in there. Rolled back to the woods.
Oh.
He was coming out. I'd already turned it backwards.
I see. So he made it look like he was going into the camp, but
so
he was going.
That would be his horse track. He'd gone in by that. Yes, sir. Sure enough, they'd met him. You need it. Yeah, I don't. They catch up. Maybe midnight, they'd be asleep, and they just go in and round them up. So they worked their way on down. Hell, there was nobody there, and so on. And couldn't find the damn thing, so they said, must have been a false alarm. Because there's nobody around or nothing. And there's been somebody here lately, but nobody here, no liquor. So that was it. So then he rode on into the woods instead. He said he was in the eating breakfast early in a restaurant, and these fellows drove down the street. So somebody was asking about them. Well, they said, didn't find the soul there, nobody there. Yes, it was a false alarm, and so on. And, but Shorty had just ridden out that morning, and then when he came out that evening, he just happened to hear them tell him, and he didn't, uh, he you listen to goddamn, they were talking away. So he rode off to one side, some little trail or something. So he waited and they want to walk by it. Oh, remember what I told you about that horse? He's made some cut off. And here's we come out. He just came out here, right here on this trail. And they talked about it, and yes. So quick as they were gone, I believe he rode the horse in with the shoes on him backwards all the way in, as near as I remember.
He rode it backwards from the camp into Lewiston, or from Lewiston out to the camp?
From the place out in the town.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
So made it look like he was really going into camp.
That's it.
So they expected to find him when they got there.
Yeah, they were sure, because he made a cut off somewhere here, and they saw other horses that had come up or something, but here was the story. New Bichardo. That's just a brand new shod horse. That's our man. But he'd been shod all the way from if he jerked off the shoes and turned them around and then him on, I've forgotten that. But he got in as Lewiston just as the sun was rising up, and he didn't eat breakfast. And men drove down the street, a couple of buggies or something, a horse or two, and I had stopped someplace and in town somewhere, and they could hear him talking. They were laughing and said, "This old son of a bitch, they got away from us again," and there were 3 or 4 cops and so on, and old Shorty was listening, and they didn't, as quick as he went off the other way and took his horse. I think he pulled the shoes off and turned them around. And so that was that. An awful wild man.
You know, I was going to ask you about the first work that you remember doing when you were a boy, when you first started working on the farm. Do you remember when you first started working?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What was the work that you did then? What was the work that you did on the farm?
I carried drinking water for a cooler man. They had thrashers and bundle wagons and so on. I would get 50 cents a day for 14 hours work. Yeah, it's pretty rugged.
How old were you then?
I was about 12. I thought I had a job of cutting bands. And I was supposed to have that and another kid. And they said they gave me a job for my dad then. And my dad had four different teams on, and two of my brothers were driving bundle teams, and dad was driving a bundle team, and they had an extra team, and they furnished a man for him and so on. And so his dad thought, they had the fellow that he hired, and so I want to go back home, and no one had to you stay. Get some job here, so they said they'd give me 75 cents a day. If I stayed in the cottage with water to the men, and if there comes a better job, we'll give it to you. But I say, go the hell, you son of a bitch. I should have said, but I didn't. I took it in. And I got 14 hours a day, a long day.
For a little kid?
Yes. And that was it. I was about 12 years old. Pretty husky, but hell, you know. We had got up early in the morning and at the
how did you carry the water?
I had only had one sack, but then a fellow wrestled me another sack, a hundred as it was. So I had two sacks and they held about a gallon, I think about a gallon maybe of the water, and they could but I could put in water the whole crew for with the one, but there was a pretty big crew, about 30 men, and then I'd have to make a trip. I should have had a cayuse up to ride, but I didn't. And it was supposed to give me $2 a day for cutting bands. And so later on, I wanted to cut, but it was about the end of the season for that time. And the boy had was cutting bands, took quit and went to school, and they got another fellow to come out and cut bands, but I would cut once in a while, but anyway, they only gave me 75 cents. You know, that was no good, you know. I should have went right back home.
Where did you get the water from? Would they have a well there?
Well, there'd be a well every here and there that we'd pull in here into this place, and probably 300 or 400 acres, and we'd do about maybe 100 acres a day or 75 or something, and we put it a week in that place, and then we'd move to another place, and they would be the same thing again. But there was too many bosses. There was an old man and his two sons, and then there was a kind of a foreman there. And the longer I got, they had thought they had one band coming in. So when they his kid and my writer just jumped up with my band coming in, he had a stick about that much of a fork handle, and saw a notch back in here and put a notch in this piece of a fork handle in here, and saw it back and cut off the right length and put a, just drill a couple of holes in the right place and put a rivet in each one and hammer it down. And it's a section really after a mower or a binder or anything. And you could cut it with that and push it over to him. And I would stand and the wood stood on one side and the other boy the other side. There would be a fella cutting back, feeding. He'd come over and catch this, and I'd have to have my. And then they'd come back and the other fellow and push them, and then I'd have to have another one ready. And
they'd push it in the machine there.
I'd push in the cylinder, and that's been. So that was that.
Well, was that, does that I'll bet you water carrying was a water carrying was probably a harder job than that was.
Oh, twice as bad. Yeah, you know, you just would have to be hell, and I should have picked her up a cayuse, but I didn't. I was quite a high for some days anyway, but I didn't. You know, sense enough in my dad. Dad thought for the whole life I'd be able to work the next year, you know. But that was no good. Yes, I think I had about 35 days and I'd had $70. That wasn't quite a stake. But I only had about $17, $18, something like that. So that wasn't very good for a whole summer.
Was the food very good? Was the cooking good?
Yeah, the cooking was pretty good, but it was off. You had to sleep in the straw stack and get up, and we would put in. Yes, we put in. I think this one place, so we start in the morning. Get up and start at 5 o'clock, and then we would at 9 o'clock eat. We'd eat breakfast before that. They'd have to cook stuff here at 4 o'clock, get breakfast at 5, and the men have, I guess, 3:30, and then they'd be eat breakfast, and we'd be going at 5. And then at 9 we would get that. The cooks would bring out some coffee and sandwiches and old donuts or cake or something. And we'd take about 20 or 30 minutes to eat that and go again. And have to make it up for the night. And night you have to take all the feed at noon because there's nothing from 1 o'clock to 8. Yeah, that was kind of a rough life.
Were you the youngest one on the crew?
Yeah, quite a bit, yes. Yeah, these other kids are about 14 or 15. And they had lots of nerves too. They just said, yes, we were all on, and I told my dad I kept out here with my dad, and my dad said I was supposed to have bands. Well, they boys, they said no, they had elves. So yes, we hired them. Finally, somebody else did, and so that is well. Somebody made it quit or something, and then you get to make it a better job. Not just that.
What did you do? What work did you do after that summer? What was the work you did next?
Oh, I don't know. I guess the next year probably I drove a team. Drove a team and hauled in bundles. If I would. There was about 10 teams and then 5 bundle teams. And I mean 5 pitchers. And each pitcher would pitch for 2 wagons. But it was kind of rough ground, so you would, I might have an extra pitcher out on steep ground. Because you'd have to ride down the upper side of the wagon and so on.
Was that work pretty good work?
Well, it was, one of the pitchers, they always have a pitcher for a wagon, that is, yes. 2 wagons for a pitcher, and he had to ride it down while then they would have this extra man. He would But anyway, it was, you want your money.
Did you have a lot of work to do on the farm?
Quite a little, yeah. Yeah, I could do pretty anything on the farm.
Yes.
Plow and harrow and we worked all the horses in those days. We would plow, walk and plow, and the little kids that got big enough, we'd take a gang plow. But we didn't get much done in the day because this was, we were just kids, you know. Bob, because of the tractor over there now, he should cut about as much as 4 or 5 game plows. Yes, twice that. He'd have a man driving nights and him days or vice versa, and he would get a, he'd plow 50 or 60 or 75 acres in a day. And we'd plow about 5 acres in a day. Bring horses in, feed them at noon, and go out and get about 2 or 2.5 acres. And it wasn't but then a man would get $25 a day for that.
Were you still breaking land on the place when you were a young man? Were you still breaking new ground?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a big old breaking plow and put more horses on, and then one would drive and the other hold the handles.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about when you were living out there by Elk River, what the logging camps were like in those days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would, pulled in most of it with donkey engines, but some of them were horse. You'd drag them in with horses, but they would, if they drag them in with loggers, they were just starting taking and cutting the loggers short about 30 feet or so, and then you would load them on the logs. And haul them in, and then they would cut them into timbers, and could they cut them at lengths they wanted, and so on, when they get into the mill. But
what were the camps like? The logging camps. Yeah. Did you get to go in them at all?
Oh yeah, yes, we stayed in camps, but they had kind of cars on the camps, and they had bunks on this side, the bunk on that, and they run, I think there was about 6 bunks on each side or something like that, and they had double decks, so I think it was 24 bunks, but they were pretty decent places. They had them clean, and it was 10 hours besides walking out to your job and back. Sometimes you half an hour to walk out to And but there was sometimes there were if they're too far out, why they'd take dinner with them, and maybe they would. We worked 10 hours a day, and but there weren't too good of money. You had to snow got awful deep some winters.
Were most of the guys that were working there like the old time lumberjacks?
Yeah, they were mostly all old lumberjacks.
What were those guys like? What do you remember them being like, the old lumberjacks?
Oh, that was their whole life. They would come to the woods. We were the creeper, and then there was an awful lot of timber. And they would just, they had their camps. When they got a ways off, they would just move them out. There's water you could get, and they have a cook and a bull cook and a couple of flunkies and about 100 men. So it was. Yeah, it was quite an improvement from the old station log shacks, and by the time we left about 5 years or so we put in. My oldest brother, he was in the woods a lot. He worked on cedar and something like that, and pretty good work, paid better wages. And they'd fall timber to make poles, light poles, and they had big holes around towns and so on.
What nationality were most of the lumberjacks?
Oh, a lot of Swedes among them. And then about the time we were there, about the time we were leaving, quite a lot of they were pretty well mixed up. And quite a lot of Greeks and fellows had shipped out from the old country.
Your guys from Yugoslavia there too? Do you remember any Serbians, guys from Yugoslavia?
Yes, that was a mix of all kinds. Yeah, they hadn't just been coming out. A lot couldn't even talk. They could. Some of them got crippled up too. They didn't. They didn't have much. If they just got killed, that was about all there was to it. Yes, yeah.
There were a lot of accidents.
Yes, quite a lot of accidents.
Did you ever see much fighting among the lumberjacks?
Oh, sometimes, yes, sometimes. Yes. Fighting and so on. Some old Irishmen, you know, would get a few drinks and come in about midnight or so, and make a big disturbance.
How you doing there, Lola?
Oh, I was just giving it the once over again. I'd forgotten so much of it. But I was just seeing what I could remember to tell you about.